Good evening, everybody. This is the Metaphysical Hour, and I'm Julia Cannon. And tonight is May 20th, 2016. And I'm here in beautiful Huntsville, Arkansas. I'm back in Arkansas. We just got back from doing classes in China, and I'm here with Suzanne Spooner, who was along with me this time. We had a wonderful time, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Julia. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's just so wonderful. That's what I want to do. Is I love to. This is what Mom and I used to do after we'd come back from trips, is we'd talk about our trips. And so it's so much fun to do that, share that with everyone. But before we do that, I'd like to give out the toll-free, the call-in number, if anybody does want to call in and has any questions or anything. I'd like to give that out. And that number is 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. So let's, because this was your first time, and that's always fun. Having a first time perspective of a new experience.
Yes, it was nice to go with somebody who had been there many times and seasons, but it was a really big experience, and it was so much fun to meet the practitioners, and we were able to be there for the first day of the Chinese practitioners reunion, which has never been held before. So that was just—it was awesome. Taiwan was beautiful, such a beautiful experience.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely was. So we'll let everybody know. First, we went to Beijing, and then we went to Beijing. And can you do a little bit of sound there? Our sound with Suzanne was a little bit off, so we're trying to do some sound there. Can you talk to a little bit, Suzanne? Let's see how you sound. See if you're any better.
Sure. How is that?
That's much better. Okay. So first we went to Beijing, and we met up in Chicago, and then we flew over to Beijing, and that was actually, the flight was really good. It wasn't bad at all.
For its 12-hour flights go, or 13, I think we talked a lot of the time, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a really good flight companion.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How are you?
Well, thank you. because these flights, I mean, I don't think people, unless they fly, I don't know if they realize, these are long flights. When you go over, you go to the countries, imagine being in an airplane, like 11, 12, 13 hours. Yeah. This is, right. There's experience number one.
Right. And there's nothing like a 13-hour flight to make a 7-hour flight seem like a piece of cake, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Trips to England are all different after that, aren't they?
They really are.
Yeah. Okay. So then we get to Beijing, and that's right. And I had, the first time ever, my bag, security wanted to know what was in my bags, and I had all these books of Mom's, and it was like, they've never done that before. And usually we just fly right in under the radar. Nobody wants to know anything. And I'm just like, and this time, they pull the bag that has all the books in it, and I'm like, oh my goodness.
I watched you get pulled to the side, and I just started talking to Dolores really quickly, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And, right off the airplane, that was a little unnerving. But gosh, I mean, once they knew, then they asked you if you wrote the books, right?
Yeah, and I... Because at first they said, well, what are they about? And I just looked at them and I just kind of smiled. And they said, well, did you write the books? I said, no, my mother wrote the books. And then they held up the CDs that were her lectures. And they said, did you do these? I said, no, those are lectures that my mother did. And they were like, okay, fine, just pack them up.
I would have loved to have listened in on how you would have explained QHHT to these security people. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, well, the book they were holding up was Between Death and Life, and they're wanting to know what it was about. I'm like, so I was trying to figure out, okay, what, how do I explain that in a really short, condensed way? Because that's why I was looking at them like, how do I do this short, concisely, you know?
So. Well, you did perfect, because it was no big deal.
Yeah. Well, when they jumped to who did you write them? Because like maybe that's why they're trying to figure out if I knew what they were about. Maybe that's what it was about. You know, I don't know. But when I said, no, my mother wrote them, then that fixed it. So
thank goodness.
Yeah. So anyway, so we get through. We meet up with Leo, who is our interpreter and our everything, you know, our what we say, I just lost the word. Chauffeur extraordinaire and interpreter and he coordinates. He just kind of does everything for us over there. So
it's nice to have somebody like Leo there to just follow, especially for me when I'm not familiar with anything there. So I was very grateful to have Leo with us.
Oh, absolutely. And so he gets us to the location, and by this point it's because we get there in the evening, so it's nice. We were able to get there and actually go right into our room and go to bed. So yeah, that's handy. That's actually nice. Then we actually go in. Oh, that's right. And because of the way I booked the wonderful booker that I am. We get in that late that evening, and we start the class early the next morning.
So Julia had a little bit of a time warp issue with our schedule. So when we thought we had a day or so to get settled in, we had mere hours. But it worked out fine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We got over jet lag while we were in the class. Time? What's time?
and since nobody could understand us and we had to be translated by Leo, if we were goofing up with what we were saying, as long as we looked confident, we're solid.
Yeah, and then they probably just put it up to jet lag. You know, like you said, if we were goofy, they just said, oh, they're just jet lagged.
But I think it was really good, you know, and gosh, it was such a big class.
Yeah,
it was so much fun to see so many people that were very, just ready to go and tuned in. And, you know, it is, you know, from my perspective, I have to tell you how touching it was. I'm sure Dolores and you have had this every time you've gone around the world to different locations. But, you know, just to have a concept of how far reaching her work is it's just, it makes your heart just fill up.
Yes. Yes. Well, and that's what, when we started seeing how, you know, when this is what hit her so strongly the first time she went over there, is like, that's why she kept going, they get it. They get, even in China, they get it. It was like, you know, it's like, yeah, you translate it and it works, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter what language you do it in, it works. So once they understand it, they do it and it works. So.
Well, and to hear their stories of their sessions and, you know, it just made me smile from ear to ear. Because it is such important good work, especially at this time in our evolution on the planet. It's just touching to see people that had, I bet we had students there from every province in China. We had one from Tibet.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. It was just such a lovely class to be a part of.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. How about, yeah, of Don's wanting to reconnect you so we can make the sound better. So we're going to do that really quickly. Okay.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. Uh-huh. So while we're doing that, that's just going to help our connection here so we can keep going. But yes, we had a wonderful time while we were in China. And like she's saying, this is just far reaching and what we're doing here. So let's see how you're sounding now, Suzanne.
Okay. How is that?
Okay. Just keep your video off, Suzanne, then. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so like we're, the work, you know, that's just the beauty of it. They get it. And they're doing, and what we noticed over there too is they don't, you know, one of the things also is they don't have the some of the issues that we have here in the Western world to get over. You know, they already believe in a lot of this stuff. Isn't that what you noticed over there, Suzanne?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a real easy understanding of the concepts. And you're right. It was an easier thing, and not to have to, you know, kind of navigate the belief systems as much as we do sometimes in other places.
Right. It's like they have other things. This is what I've noticed in different countries. We have to work with different things. It's like here in America and the Western world, we have certain things we have to work with and around or whatever. And then we get over there and it's like, what? You have issues with that? What are you talking about? And that's not their issue. They have other issues, you know? So we have, you know, it's like all these different things that, you know, that we just have to figure out how to, you know, work with. And that's the beauty of this, I guess, because it's very rewarding to us and helps and it's growing to us. You know, it's all beautiful in so many different ways, but that's the reward to me. That's the way I see it for me is because, you know, in helping them, it's very helpful for me. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. And, you know, and I think nothing exemplifies that more than when we're working with them on their voice. For the induction, you know, Dolores liked to say this in class, and I would hear it over and over in Arkansas, that, you know, she said, it doesn't matter what the language is, mm-hmm. you know, if they got the voice right, you could put anybody under. And that is so true.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because it absolutely true, because it doesn't matter. And because when they get it right, it is. It's like, I don't care what you're saying. it's like, just keep on going. Come on. I just want to listen to you all day. So, yeah. And it's like they've got this magic sweet spot that they hit. And it's like, oh, yeah. I don't know what you're saying. But it's like, and it's just this beauty. Because I've noticed that it's like my ears are getting even better and better at hearing something. And I'm like, and it's so funny because even on this trip, I was listening. And I said, I don't know what you're saying right here, but something is off, you know? And then Leo was confirming things for me. It was really interesting. And he was like, yeah, this was happening. And I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. So.
Yeah, it really, I mean, it's just a universal process, and mm-hmm. To see it in action is just such is so touching, and it's fun, and you know you're so much better at being interpreted. This is really my first get go at that, and that's, you know, that's an art in itself.
it is absolutely. You have to there's a timing thing there that you have to do.
Yeah, there is. You know, and the, you know, the funny thing is you and I would crack a joke or something. We'd be cracking up and they'd be, you know, these blank faces until Leo can explain it. And then you hope that it translated right. But
and so many times it didn't. And you're like, you're supposed to be laughing.
Well, as long as we thought it was funny, I guess, you know. But, yeah. You know, what a generous group, too. I mean, just, you know, oh my goodness, how many plates of fruit did you and I receive? You know, they did so much to help us feel welcome and at home and, you know, right down to getting us Western silverware, you know, which I'm proud to say that we rebuffed most times.
That's right, we did, because we were getting quite good at our chopstick skills. Now, let's say that several times. Chopstick skills. Because last time I was really fumbling, and this time I was fumbling, but not near to the degree that I was last time. So,
well, there's nothing like the desire to eat, you know, to get, yeah.
That's true. And their food, oh my goodness. Now, there were some pieces on there, and we can talk about that here. In fact, I think it'd be good to talk about how they serve and how they eat, because that was a whole new experience for me whenever I first went there. And I think, and we were still, they probably look at us and just going, what are you doing? But because it's a different style.
Oh, it is. You know, just the, you know, that first hotel we were at, they would serve so many dishes at a big round table. And the center would spin around, so everybody would just, you know, share the dishes. And I think you and I, they had to be laughing at us because, you know, they gave us little tiny plates, and we're used to bigger plates. And so we're loading everything on, you know, before we start to eat, and they don't do that. And it took me a couple of meals before I figured out that's not kosher with them. They take little bits. And keep spinning the little thing around and around and around.
I know, and they just keep eating off. They just keep grabbing little pieces and eating. And it's like, what is that plate for? I just kept dishing into the plate and eating my servings. And then when I wanted more, I just dish a little bit more out into it and eat my stuff. I really don't know. You know, I guess that plate was just there to catch stuff you dropped, maybe. I don't know, because they would just eat out of the big ones, you know, and just eat it.
I know. I bet they're still laughing at us. And
probably.
And breakfast was completely different, you know. The only thing that I recognized was a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah.
But that was really cool to expand our breakfast awareness, I guess. And it was very light eating, and you know, you didn't feel too full at all, ever.
No, how much weight did you lose?
Well, you know, I have to say, whatever I lost in China, I gained in Taiwan. So I came back fairly even.
If I did gain any in Taiwan, I mean, then that means that by the time I got back here and actually had my official weigh-in, I had lost 7 pounds.
So, holy buckwheats.
Yeah. So if I did, it was meant I lost even more in China. So I was like, whoa.
Good job, Julia. Jeez.
Well, I knew it was coming off because that belt was coming in and going in and going in. I was like, whoa, it's coming off. Because, yeah. You know, because that food, but the vegetables, oh my gosh,
vegetables
are so good.
And, you know, I have to say, I haven't had rice since we got back, because we had at least one rice paddy, one rice field per each of us, I think, on that trip. But I'm kind of missing my rice.
I've been eating rice since we got back. My sister picked me up at the airport, and we stopped for dinner on the way out. And guess where we stopped?
You did not.
We did, and it was where she wanted to stop.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I haven't gone Chinese yet since we got back.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Matter of fact, we went out to dinner once I got back, and it was a chicken dish that was really cool. But, you know, I'm a little squeamish on my meat, and this actually looks like multiple chicken parts, similar to some of the dishes that we had overseas. And I had to say, I had to just kind of pass that one. I was just ready to see some white meat.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting how they do over there. I mean, they eat absolutely everything, every part of
everything.
They don't waste anything. I just can't do that. I'm sorry. I can't.
I didn't see you diving into the fish heads nor the fish tails.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were offered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were offered, and the chicken feet and the duck heads were sliced in slices, and the, you know, and maybe it was very good. I mean, they even had the, what was it, the breast bone?
The cartilage.
Yeah. And it was, I think it was on a skewer, like it had been roasted or something, I think. I mean, and they were crunching it, like it was really good. I can't even imagine that. Even the chicken feet, I can't imagine. That doesn't process in my brain as something. I just don't.
We're too white bread, Julia.
I think so, you know. But
we tried. We did. I think we did fairly well.
I think we did very well. Hey, but I really, really, really liked those wood ears.
Oh, yeah. That, also known as mushrooms.
Yes. Yes. I really want to find. I'm gonna see if we have them over here. I love those. Oh my gosh, I really, really love those.
Well, you know what you need to do is you need to ask Leo what they're called in Chinese, and then go to like a Chinese grocery store. I bet they would have them or pick at them.
You know, I think we have a Chinese grocery store over here.
Well, there you go.
Well, yeah, I forgot about that. I bet I can get that. Oh yeah, very good. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, enough for food. But that was a huge experience. That was really something. Okay. So yeah, we had the class and then we had the reunion. And that was because that was their first reunion in China.
Right. We're going on our fourth year here in the U.S.
Right.
And Leo organized the first ever Chinese reunion, bless his heart.
Lot of people there.
Oh my gosh, I think it was like
87.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were so excited. I mean, when they were sharing experiences and sharing, you know, just how QHHT changed their lives, and they were so excited to be there and be with everyone. And
He showed just the most beautiful tribute video to Dolores.
Oh my God! So yes, he did. Oh, I couldn't hold it together. It was just so beautiful.
Well, you know, in all the photographs that he came up with, and many of those I hadn't seen before. And gosh, that'd be a great video to maybe put out, because it's just such a well-rounded look at her work.
Yeah.
And the way she touched people.
Yeah. Yeah. But he said he was going to send it to us. So I'm asking for it again. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was so, it was just so moving. Yeah, I couldn't.
Well, in that group too, just their enthusiasm, like you had mentioned, and, you know, we're back to food again, but you know, the way that we did the meals there were outside and in long, you know, tables, and you know, just to share company with so many people at one time was such a fun experience. But you know, they had fun. They did a group hypnosis, which was awesome. And they got to ask you questions, which I'm sure was just the highlight, to be able to, you know, directly ask, you know, your thoughts and your experiences. And sharing your times with Dolores teaching that had to just be, you know, off the charts exciting for them?
Yeah, absolutely. That was fun for me too. You know, I always enjoy sharing anytime people want to talk about that. I always love doing that. So, and that's what I'm looking forward to the reunion we're going to have next month too, doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Every time we can do that and just kind of, you know, group together as practitioners, it's so beautiful because we get to really, you know, get to know one another and share experiences and, you know, play with the process. And, you know, we do, this year we're putting the great Ron Head and sweet Diane Morrison under together live on stage and allow the group to ask questions while they're under of their subconscious, which is always just delightful. It's so much fun.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be great.
And this year, I'm really excited that you are being so generous in offering, to be in session with Dolores, you know, would just be the bee's knees as far as I'm concerned. I would love to have been flies on the wall throughout everyone's sessions. But you're allowing the practitioners that are there for the reunion to have a sound bite, so to speak, a part of the session. Mm-hmm. Where they can actually listen to her go through one of the Jesus and the Essenes sessions, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, because when we have the recordings from the session that she did for that book with that client. And so we thought, well, how about we, you know, take part an excerpt from one of those sessions and give that, you know, with a book to the practitioners that come that day. So
what a treat. I mean,
I know.
Oh my gosh. That's just like a piece of Dolores that, you know, nobody gets, you know, nobody's heard her. I mean, other than, you know, in class when she's been doing practice sessions, you just don't get to hear that. And then to hear one that was actually in, you know, such a fundamentally important book in her body of work. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, and it'll be that'll be lots of fun. I think that'll be a treasure. I really do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. That'll be a great day. And the day before, anybody mm-hmm. that wants to, the practitioners get to go down to find their own crystals, do a crystal dig.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Going on a crystal dig. So that'll be tons of fun because, you know, that's what we're known for here is, I mean, these huge crystals.
Right.
All over the place, just under the ground.
We go to China, or you go to Europe, or you go to Australia, and they'll say, oh, these are crystals from Arkansas.
Yeah, Brazil or Arkansas.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just come on over here. And see, that's like, I've got these huge crystals that I got from the one I went before. I mean, they're huge. They're like, because I mean, you can get little ones. I mean, they're all right there. They're just, you know, I'm making the size of my hand. You can probably see it. But I got some because I had my car there. And if you get, you know, it took three people to lift it.
Oh my gosh.
I got into the car and I got a couple of those. And I thought, well, I'm going to put them in the garden. And, but they're like, you know, 3 feet long and, you know, probably a foot wide, you know, round and stuff. I mean, but they're really, really heavy.
So, you have to dig very far down into the ground to find them?
No, they're just laying around on top of the ground.
Oh, that is so crazy.
Yeah.
See, I've never done this before. So that just, to me, just sounds crazy. But, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, just because of the way they do it, you know, because they come out and they turn the earth. You know, they pull these out of the cave. And they dump it out on this area. And then that's where you dig.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And they're also going to let us go into the cave. You know, that'll be part of the tour, is this cave and everything. But where we dig is up on this area that they come out every so often, and they'll turn that dirt over and stuff. And there's, you know, at first we were digging where they said, okay, yeah, you dig here. But that's where they had everything covered up. And then I just went over to this other area where they hadn't been, I can't remember what was going on. It was like people weren't digging there. It was this other part. And they were just laying on top of the ground over there. It's just like, why don't I just go over those?
How cool is that?
Yeah. So it was just easier. It was like those were, I think they hadn't been turned yet. And the rain had just uncovered them or something. When they had turned them, they were freshly, you know, see, they had, I don't know, so I can't remember what the thing was, but yeah, it's like you could tell the fresh stuff, you know, that's where they had all the fresh dirt on them. And the other, yeah, that's what it was. The other had been, it was rained on and everything, and seeing that had already removed all the dirt.
Oh my God.
So Mother Nature took care of it for me.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
Ready to go in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. So I've got lots of crystals. So, but yeah, I'll be going down too, probably. So we'll just all have fun.
It's fun.
Let's see, this is June. It might be hot. It might not be. Who knows? It's still cool right now. It's no telling what the weather will be. But it'll be fun. I can guarantee that. It'll be fun.
And maybe a little bit dirty.
Absolutely dirty. That's part of the fun.
Mud bath experience. Can you, seriously though, can you think about that dirt that those crystals have been sitting in? That dirt has to be charged.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's lots of fun. And and then everybody getting together and doing this together.
Yeah, how fun is that? A lot of intention of many like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And then bringing back all those crystals and then going into classes. And oh, my gosh, we'll be levitating out of the resort, I think.
Exactly. it'll be great. Okay, so let's see. Okay. Oh, let's see. Well, we were in China. Let's pop back to that. We jumped over here. Well, we went to see a couple of sites while we were over there. Let's finish up. Let's do those real quick before we finish up on what we have coming up here.
Okay.
Let's see. We went to a couple of sites that I had never been to. So this was a new experience for both of us. And that was the Temple of Heaven and the Forbidden City.
Yes. And
what do you remember? I remember a lot of walking. I do remember.
Yeah. For our one day off, I think we got enough walking in for at least 3 days.
Absolutely.
But that Temple of Heaven is just quite the complex. And oh my gosh, I think we could have spent the whole day there.
Yeah.
If we didn't have so much on our agenda that day.
Yeah. We were trying to get a lot in. Because we had that one day off. And so we were getting a lot in one day. I remember it was a lot of, there were squares and round. And it was like the very last building at the top was round. And that's the only round government building in China. Is that correct?
Yes, because to them, the square shape represents the earth and the circular shape represents heaven. So this is the only round temple in China. And it was built... I found this fascinating. It was built back in the early Renaissance period, real early Renaissance, like around the early 1400s,
mm-hmm.
Which really, to me, is fascinating because you couldn't hop on a plane and, you know, travel and see what other folks were doing. But so during this time in Europe, coming out of the Dark Ages and this Renaissance is starting, and then, you know, in another place in the world, they're building these amazing structures that actually had a lot of symbology with sacred geometry. So, I mean, the earth was just hopping during that period of creation. And, you know, it was so amazing to walk on the road that the emperor walked on or that right. they designated for God. And, you know, you and I had quite a bit of fun, you know, as were a lot of the other tourists walking on it, you know, just because we could.
yeah.
But, you know, and I don't know if you know this, but the same person that designed that Temple of Heaven is also the person that designed where we went next, which was the Forbidden City.
I did not know that.
I know. How cool is that? This guy had it going on.
Sure did. Wow. Huh. I did know, because we got, we ended up getting a tour guide for the Forbidden City, and she was telling us that movie, The Last Emperor, was filmed at the Forbidden City.
I know, I still want to watch that. I haven't seen
Me
that
too.
Yet.
Me too. I've got to watch that, so, yeah. So I can see it in its glory, because I'm sure that they really, really glammed it up, so maybe we can get an idea of what it was maybe like.
So. Right. Well, you know, and I have to say, you know, as we were walking into the Forbidden City, I didn't realize this at the time. I do now that that Tiananmen Square is directly in front of the Forbidden City. Right. And we couldn't walk on the square because it was, I guess, closed, although soldiers were there, but closed because of a visiting North Korean diplomat, I believe.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, it just, I'm sure you picked up on this too. I'm sure we talked about this, but I mean, the energy there was just so heavy and actually quite repressive, I thought.
Oh, yeah, with the guards, you mean, and everything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you couldn't walk near it. You had, you know, you're watched. Yeah, it was just kind of a different mojo the you know, coming from the Temple of Heaven, which was just quite lovely,
all light, and then we get there,
and you know, and it was so interesting, our two little I shouldn't say little, our the two women that were so lovely to take us around to all those places that day, our interpreters, it was just surprising to ask them about Tiananmen Square and the riots in 1986. And, you know, I was trying to ask, you know, what they recall about it. And really, they have no information about it to speak of, which really, really made me understand how much they're kind of controlled on, you know, and who, and you and I got into this conversation, who knows what we get either, you know, and how whitewashed it is or,
right.
But, you know, that really took me aback, I have to say.
Exactly. And like you said, we were discussing this, and because this is what Mom and I started seeing. I mean, she saw it much longer before I did, because she was, as soon as you start seeing, going to other countries, you start seeing that the news we get here is different than the news you get in other countries about the United States. And then the news in general in other places. And so, and like you're saying, see, then what they were getting about an event in their own country in China was different than what we were hearing. So it's almost like, okay, so what is the real story?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you remember when I was asking, you know, where the man was standing in front of the tank, mm-hmm. you know, back in the 1986 riot, and their faces were just really blank. And I said, you know, he had his hand up to the tank. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they said, was he waving at us?
Yeah. They knew nothing about it. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Completely nothing. Yeah. Just, and that was such a huge deal, and you would think they would really know about it, but it was just completely like, nope, you're not going to know anything. So, yeah, they're only going to know what they want them to know. And, but like, again, or are we only going to know what is wanted to know? It's like, was it just propaganda? I mean, it's almost like, you know, it could be whatever.
Right. Well, you know, and then what is truth, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, we can get on a really great philosophical debate here on this, but, you know, what is reality, right? So, I mean, you think you know what things are and how things are, and then you go somewhere where it's just completely different, and you have to really respect, I guess, what their experiences are as well.
Absolutely. That's the biggest thing that we've probably learned from all of these trips is to respect everyone else's cultures, you know, because just because it's not like yours and it's not the way you would do something doesn't mean it's not right. It's, you know, so you have to respect it. It's their way. And that's just how it is. And it's what they are used to. And that's just the way it is. So, you know, and you work with that. And you just have to maneuver. And that's what I meant by, you know, we work with these different cultures and these different belief systems and these different things. And so that's, it's challenging, it's rewarding, and it's very growing.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Keeps one on their toes, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Very much so. You know, because it's, yeah, very much so. Okay, so what do you remember about the Forbidden City?
Well, you know, I was surprised by how many, like, layers of it there is as you walk back. You know, that mm-hmm. first, you know, as you're walking into it, that picture of Chairman Mao that's, you know, everybody knows that iconic picture against mm-hmm. that red wall. I didn't realize that was on the front of the Forbidden City, so I learned that. But, you know, it's like you'd walk into the Forbidden City, and then you'd walk, you know, there'd be some temples or some government buildings that mm-hmm. were beautifully ornate. And then you'd walk farther, and you just kept going back and, you know, to another layer of it, then another layer. And, you know, then here's where the concubines were, and right. here's where the empress was, and here's finally where the emperor hung out.
Yeah. And I think one area was like his office, and then another was like, then you finally got to his sleeping quarters. And so.
Yeah, but yeah, like three stages back just from where his stuff started to where the dude lay down and slept. And what better than I did. Wasn't there something about where he slept that they would put shoes out at different doors in that complex?
Yeah, or at the beds or something like that. He had like 28 different beds or some number of different beds, or and you never knew. And he had all these different entourage. He never slept alone. He had all this entourage, and had all their shoes.
Right, to in case somebody came in to try to harm him, they wouldn't know which bedroom he was in.
Yeah.
They'd try to throw him. Yeah. I wonder who went, hey, I have an idea. Let's protect him by throwing some false shoes out. You know,
So you have to sleep in a different room every night, I guess.
I know. Whatever works, I guess.
Different, yeah. Oh my! But it was very interesting. But yeah, I really want to see that movie just to get a better idea. I think now, having seen this, now see the movie, and then maybe I'll have a better understanding.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's definitely on my list. Maybe I'll do that this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think I will too. I'll put that on my note here. okay, so then we did from there. Okay, so from Beijing, then we went to Taiwan.
Yep.
And had our... and we had our day off there up front before the class.
Right.
And so, let's see, there we went. What did we do there?
Well, we kind of went to the government buildings, kind of like our Lincoln Memorial, but with their first president, with our fabulous interpreter, Darby.
Darby, that's right. Isn't she sweet?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I wanted to bring her home with me. She's what an angel to, you know, pack us around all over the place and interpret for us. And she's just a sweet, sweet, lovely woman, you know, just such a great gal to spend time with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And she's another one. I mean, that's how everyone is. This is how they just kind of, they take you on and they do everything. I mean, she was the bank, she was the chauffeur, she was everything, you know.
when the hotel wouldn't, you know, exchange my Chinese money, she's like the Bank of Derby showed up, you know, and,
exactly.
You know, she's just such a woman of the globe. She lives in three countries throughout the year, so. Boom, she has American dollars and she needed, you know, Chinese. And it was hilarious. I mean, and she would take us from our hotel every morning to where we were doing our level 3 class in different ways so that we could see different parts of the city, which was fascinating.
Yeah, because, and she could get there because every time it seemed like she was going the wrong direction, but she was getting there.
Remember the first night you and I attempted to go walk around by ourselves, and we were one turn away from being utterly and completely lost in Taipei.
Yes.
We had to have some Dolores guidance there, because if there's anybody that typically goes the wrong way, it is Wrong Way Suzanne, and somehow we got back to the hotel.
Yeah. Unscathed.
Unscathed. Intact.
Yep.
Yet fairly scared at where we just about went off the rails in directions.
Yeah. So we didn't do it anymore.
No. We stuck with Darby the rest of the time.
Yep. Yep. We just, yeah.
I became just, you know, just very grateful to be a follower, you know, just, you know, just lead me around and point stuff out to me. And that worked really well. And oh my gosh, that was such a great class. And what we were graced with three beautiful women that are so dedicated to this work and want to move up to that level 3 designation, which is a rigorous process, so bless their hearts.
Absolutely. Yeah, and this was so, again, rewarding and wonderful to be breaking that barrier of another language, because this was the first time to be doing this in a country that did not speak English. So it was like, this was breaking that English barrier.
Not only that, I think Darby was doing Cantonese, she was doing Chinese. And I think it was the third. I think they all three spoke different dialects.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we were, oh my goodness, the stuff that was happening in that class was just remarkable.
Oh, wow. Amazing. And, you know, and sweet Jovi, who is just one of our dearly loved practitioners, and she shows up all over the globe. She was a participant there, and she spoke English. Jovi kind of came in there because we're watching videos and having to translate these videos of these sessions. I mean, it's no small feat, and we're doing it in relatively short a period of time of 3 days. And it's, you know, it's an intense experience. It's way more intense when you have to interpret everything.
Yes. Yes. And that's, yeah. And we got it done. That's what was amazing. I mean, these were long, long days. Like you said, intense. But that's, yeah, it was amazing that that's what was doing it. And we did it.
I don't think you noticed as much as I did. I definitely did, but we had an earthquake tremor.
That's right. That's right. No, I didn't notice it. I just saw you. I noticed your face, and that was afterwards. I was like, oh, okay.
You know, my first thought is, what floor are we on? Oh my God, we are on the 12th floor. That's a long fall. But, you know, no biggie. It was just a tremor. But when you're a girl from Iowa, that's not something that we, you know, throw me in a tornado and I'm golden, but put me on an earthquake tremor and I'm a little rattled.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was interesting. But yeah, no, it was a wonderful class. It was a wonderful experience and we did it. And, so there, you know, that's our first step, to that. And that's what we were wanting to do. And it's wonderful. I'm so excited to where this is going now.
Right. We got the recipe down. So, I mean, the next one will just be a piece of cake. And, you know, what I thought was so sweet too, or, you know, at the end of these long days, your former students would show up.
From other classes.
And I'd be kind of like, let's go back to the room, you know, and chill. I'm like, no, we're going to go out to dinner, you know, with all these people, which was ended up being one of the loveliest moments of the trip. Mm-hmm. They're just all so sweet. But I mean, girl, you bring them. They show up and, you know, they don't care if they're in the class or not. They're just going to, they want to show their gratitude and their excitement to see you. And
they're so sweet. So sweet.
That happened like every night, I think.
Mm-hmm. They were. <It's> like, and that last day, because we were having to leave the next morning, I think we were leaving out. And so we had to go pack.
Yes. Well, it was like that at the, you know, at the reunion came at, in China came after the class, and Leo, bless his heart, wanted us to be there that day, like literally immediately before we had to leave for the airport.
Right.
And so you tasked me with keeping us on time, and you know, there's nothing like trying to arrive at an airport in a foreign country that you don't speak the language to make you want to be on time, if not early.
That's
and
right.
even that day, you know, we thought we were out of there, and then they want to take a group picture, and yeah, you know, you want to do it, but holy smokes.
Exactly.
That makes for a little anxiety.
Exactly. Yes.
but we fell through. We had no problems in the airports at all.
Yeah, it all went smooth. So everywhere, it just, everything went smooth. So yeah, we can't come. Yeah, everything was wonderful. I'm sure that was Mom and our Golden Infinity and all of our
right.
pyramids and everything.
Yeah. It was just, you know, to
anyway,
say,
so
yeah, we went halfway around the world and for 2 weeks, and there were really no glitches in anything.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, we have like 2 minutes left before we have to go. So how about we talk a little bit about very quickly about next month? So we had we talked about the Crystal Dig and the reunion. And then after that, we have the level one class that we're doing, which is it starts the 15th, I believe, of June. And goes through, it'll be the 6-day class. And if you're going, and you can sign up for that and still go to the reunion. So it's like anybody who's ever done a class, live or online, and is also going to this level one class. If you sign up for that, you can go to the reunion. You know, come on, join, come on with us. And then this Crystal Dig also is open to anyone. You don't have to be a practitioner. You don't have to be going to the classes. If you just want to join us and just go have fun with us and go dig crystals, come on, join, be with us. All of this information is available on the QHHTofficial.com site, as well as DoloresCannon.com site. And, is there anything, I feel like you have something else. Do you want to say anything else, Suzanne?
No, not at all. I'm really excited to see who shows up in magical Eureka Springs for these classes. I think, you know, those are always the ones that build the great relationships, friendships for life. And it's just always great to be a part of that.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much fun. So much fun. We just got the video done that Edon's been working on. And so I think Bradley's going to be putting it out tomorrow. You'll get to see it.
I
think he actually sent it. Oh, is it up already?
Well, I don't know if it's up. I think it's up tomorrow. But okay. Yeah, it's an awesome video. It shows, you know, lots of great practitioners from classes taken all around the world. It rocks.
It's really, really good. So everybody, so go see it. It's going to be out on the social media, I think tomorrow is when it's going out. So be sure and look it up and share with your friends. So anyway, we're going to have to sign off now, and we'll be back live next week and with another guest. And I look forward to seeing everybody and or talking to everyone, however it goes. And glad to be back. And we'll see you very soon. And just love you all. Thank you, and have a great, wonderful week. Love you.